We are going to continue our series this morning about discovering Jesus through the Gospel of John, and I'm going to speed it up just a little bit because we're up to chapter 9, and so today we're actually going to get into chapters 9 and 10, but I'm only going to give you a little overview or a kind of a brief overview of John chapter 9. Let's pick it up with the verse in John chapter 9. So let me tell you the story on John chapter 9. You remember that Jesus had healed the man at the pool of Bethesda and got into all kinds of trouble. The guy at the pool of Bethesda, he wasn't an honorable fella. He wasn't as honorable as this fella. And so he turned Jesus in and told the Pharisees who it was that healed him. And Jesus ran into him and said, or found him out and said, listen, sin no more lest the worst thing come upon you. So then he gets into chapter 9 and he runs into a man that's been born blind, never has seen. How many of you know it would be very, very fun to receive your sight if you've never seen before? And so Jesus makes some clay out of the ground, spits on the ground, puts it on his eyes, and he comes back seeing. And this fella gets in all kinds of persecution because Jesus healed him on the Sabbath. Remember last week's sermon about Mark 7:13 where it said that your traditions handed down keep you from understanding the power of God. So he gets into all kinds of trouble because he healed him on the Sabbath. So they drag his mom and dad. The Pharisees go find his mom and dad, and they ask him, they said, is it true that this fellow was born blind? And they said, yes. They're not really on his side because the Pharisees have already said that anybody that acknowledges Jesus will be kicked out of the synagogue. And so they love religious tradition more than they love the truth. And so they said, look, he's of age, you ask him. And so this fella, he gives one of the great theological discussions when he says, look, he says, you know, you're saying this guy's not from God and that he's evil. But he says, the only thing I can tell you was, I woke up this morning blind, but now I can see. How many of you know the proof of the pudding's in the eating? You know, you can tell somebody that the pudding's real good or whatever they made is real good, but if people don't eat it, it probably wasn't that good. Am I right? So he says, you know, all I can tell you was I was blind and now I can see, and I'm happy about the fact that I can receive my sight. And the Pharisees, the verse before this, the Pharisees tell him that you were completely born in sin. How dare you tell us about God? See, they're claiming their religious superiority. And they kick him out of the synagogue. Should have been the happiest day of his life. Can I get an amen? So Jesus finds out about it. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him. Now remember when he found the other fella. Remember when he found the other fella that had been healed at the pool of Bethesda. Remember he found him. And he said, look man. He said, don't sin no more. Something else bad is going to come on you. But he finds this guy. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? His attitude towards this guy is totally different. Verse 36. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? He's already calling him Lord, so he's pretty much got a clue, right? And then verse 37. And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And then verse 38. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And that's not even my sermon. And that's not even my topic. And that's what happened in John chapter 9. And then in John chapter 10, I'm just going to go ahead and put this verse up because it's a famous verse that me and Jerry and Donnie and some of us have heard this verse many times. John 10:10. John 10:10. How many of you are familiar with this verse? The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. This verse of scripture was a verse that came along in the early stages of my Christian life, and I was part, I know some of y'all know my history, I was part of the Word of Faith movement. I was connected to that message, and one of their favorite verses was this verse: the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Understanding, and this is absolutely true and accurate, understanding that the thief they're talking about here is the devil. That the devil comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Understanding that. And then the last part of it was, I have come that they may have life and that they may have that life more abundantly. And so we had pictures of, you know, airplanes and Cadillacs and $1 million in the bank and no worries and no problems, and all my kids would stay healthy and happy, and my children and my wife would never be late for church. You know, everything would just be fantastic, fantastically glorious, because we were we identified ourselves, we were abundant lifers. We were abundant lifers. In fact, in my history, back in the hometown I grew up in, I've never really shared this, there was a fellow that started a fellowship called the Abundant Life Church, and me and Daddy went to it because we were desperately looking for somebody that was preaching and teaching the Word of God. And so me and Daddy went to that Abundant Life Church, and we were actually some of the foundational members. Now, we didn't stick around because that guy didn't know much. But I want to say to you that my attitude and my opinion about this has changed dramatically in relation to this verse of Scripture. But I'm going to put up on a screen something that will get everybody happy this morning, and it'll also make you hungry. I'm going to put this picture up. Everybody cool with this verse? See that right there? A while back, not very long ago, I did a series about hamburgers. Remember that one? How you like your hamburger? So I figured I wouldn't repeat that, because I figure I'll bring up something else that everybody's kind of familiar with, and that's pizza. How many of you like pizza? And how many of you know that there's all kinds of different ways to get pizza? Any of you gone to town and ate at Mod Pizza? That's the fact. James, you haven't had a Mod Pizza? Well, James, we're going to have to introduce you to that concept. That's the fastest growing franchise in America, by the way. And it's pretty cool because, you know, they're real quick about getting you the pizza. They put it in a little fire oven and bring it out and cook it for you. And so that's one way you can get your pizza. Jordan brought a Papa John's pizza in from work. I think they bought him a pizza at work last night. He brought in Papa John's. How many of you have ever had Papa John's pizza? Me and Teresa, what we've discovered and what we really enjoy is this thing called Papa Murphy's. Are y'all familiar with Papa Murphy's? Think about how ingenious humankind is when it comes to creating new ways to have food. Don't you wish we could be that creative when it came to political things? Don't you wish we could be that smart when it came to voting people into office? Don't you wish we wouldn't have to be worried about Armageddon? Anyway, we found this thing called Papa Murphy's Pizza, and the way this concept works is you go in there and you get everything you want on it. Jerry, are you familiar with it? And you need to take your mama to Papa Murphy's Pizza.
You don't like to cook?
Well, y'all can throw it in an oven. Heck, I can throw it in an oven. Anyway, this concept is you go there and you get everything you want on the pizza. And then they put everything on the pizza, on the dough, either thin crust or deep dish or regular crust. Then they wrap it up, and then you take it home, put it in the oven for about 12 minutes. And I'm telling you, marvelous. Simply marvelous. But the point is, would you agree with me? And I won't even talk about the Pizza Hut. That's gone way down, in my opinion. And then I'm sorry if you like Pizza Hut, but it's and besides that, have you seen how they've downsized the large pizza? Back in the day, if you got a large pizza, you really got a large pizza. Now you get a little pizza, and people tell you something long enough you believe anything. Well, you sit there and eat that. That's a large pizza. It'd be a large pizza in Israel or Egypt, so it's a large pizza. Anyway, what's the other one? Anybody? Domino's. But I heard they've improved theirs. I've heard Domino's has really been improved, and that's the only stock that I know in America that's actually going up. So got to be doing something right. But anyway, there's a lot of pizza. And if you're going to decide one morning, listen to me now, this is what I want to say to you. If you're going to get up one morning and decide, you know what I'm going to do to make money? I'm going to start a pizza shop. You better think on that long and hard. Why should you think on that long and hard? I see one head nodding no. The reason why you should think on that long and hard is that there's a lot of pizza places already going that already serve people in a way they want to be served. But again, you never know when somebody's going to come up with the next mod pizza idea. I'll tell you another great pizza. I don't know if you've ever had it. And I guarantee you, how many of you think sometime today you're going to order a pizza after this sermon? I'll tell you another really good pizza is California Pizza Kitchen. You ever had that? Woo, that's a good thing too. That's an upscale version of mod pizza. They throw it in the fire oven and cook it for you, and it's really good. But if you decide, okay, I'm going to start a pizza joint, you better have some reason to make your pizza different than somebody else's pizza. You better be putting something in your pizza that Donnie would want to eat. There better be some, I can't think of that stuff that they put. What's that fake marijuana stuff? No, oregano. Yeah, never mind. Anyway. Don't cut that out. Don't cut that out. I want people to know why I'm upset. So anyway, I get born again. I get born again, and I get a call on my life to minister the gospel. There's no doubt about it. I understood that. I knew it from an early age. I mean, from an early period of my Christianity, I knew I had a call on my life to minister, but I didn't know how that was going to play out. I didn't know how I was going to achieve that. But the thing that had to motivate me to cause me to open up my own pizza shop was I had to believe that I had found some things in the Bible that weren't being discussed on a regular, consistent basis. Because if all I was interested in doing was starting another church and doing the same thing most other churches were doing, that really wouldn't have made any sense, because there's plenty of churches and there's plenty of places to go to church. So when I was a very new Christian, starting out with the Lord, I did not have any understanding of the Bible. I'd never read the Bible for myself, but I knew that I had gotten acquainted with Jesus supernaturally in 1978. I knew that I'd gotten spirit-filled. I knew that God loved me, and I knew that I understood what salvation meant through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I began a deep dive into the Word of God. And most of you know my testimony. Most of you know my story. Most of you know that sooner or later, I finally got over to the epistles. If some of y'all would take the time to come over to our house that we open on Wednesdays most of the time, except for the next 2 weeks, that's news for you, but you'd find that stuff out later. If you took the time to come to Wednesday night Bible study, you'd know that right now we're in the book of Ephesians, studying it verse by verse. And you'd discover that one of the things that happened to me is it dawned on me that in the epistles from Romans through Jude, and I really got the revelation in the reading Ephesians, it dawned on me that that was talking to me. Sure, it was talking to the church at Ephesus. Sure, it was talking to everybody that was in Christ. But I knew in my heart of hearts that God himself was talking to Mark Browning when he told me, for instance, in the book of Ephesians, that I was dead in trespasses and sins, but God made me alive together with Christ. I knew that God was talking to me when he said that God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved me, he raised me up with the Lord Jesus Christ and made me sit with him in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and darkness and rulers of the darkness of this age. I knew he was talking to me. And I was excited about it. And I scared most everybody I came in contact with. Because most people I came in contact with really didn't know that and really didn't want to hear about that. One glorious day, I finally dawned on me that God was speaking specifically to me in the epistles, and I got over to 2 Corinthians 5:19. I want to share this story with you. I think it'll be funny and helpful. 2 Corinthians 5:19. We had to go download this because they don't have the Amplified version paid for. And if you'll notice that at some point, you know, I was an on fire believer. The Word of God was just God was flooding me with revelation, and the Word of God meant so much to me. And I'd heard that there was this translation called the Amplified Version. I won't tell my story about the GI that said, does it make it louder and all that. I won't tell that because of time. But I'd found out there was a version of the Bible called the Amplified Version that went into more detail with each verse, because the English language is limited in how it can convey some of the great truths that are found in God's holy word. The English language, in other words, one of the great examples of that is the two words eternal life. See, most people that don't know the depths of Scripture see those two words eternal life, and that they think that means that when they die, they get to live forever. And that's not what the term eternal life really means in the Greek. And that's why it's Greek to most people. See, the real term eternal life in the literal Greek means that God imparts to you His very life on the inside of you. And without God imparting His life on the inside of you in this life, you don't have eternal life when you die. Can I get an amen? I think I'm over all the other stuff. Thank you for the anointing. You get with me? That's just one example. So everywhere you see the words eternal life in the Bible, it's not talking about living forever. It's talking about receiving God's actual nature. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not the life. So anyway, one day, they said, hey, there's an Amplified Bible out there that'll go into more detail. I said, I got to get me one. So I got it. I think I still got it at home, or maybe not, but the original Amplified Bible, and I think they've actually upgraded it now to the new Amplified Translation, but I don't have that one. So one day in my Bible study, I'm reading this great, magnificent passage of Scripture in the Amplified Translation. Everybody tracking? Now stay with me on this. It says, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Catch a hold of this. These are glorious verses. This is worth being here and listening to. This is worth hearing it on the radio and on the internet. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Now listen to this. Not counting people's sins against them, but say these three words. By canceling them. Say it again. By canceling them. Now most translations say not imputing people's sins. The word impute, it's an accounting term. It's a ledger that you keep. Back in the old days, my grandfather and my grandmother back in the day had a general store in a little town called St. Francis, Kentucky. And they didn't have a cash register. And every time that people would shop in this little store, sometimes they weren't able to pay the people. They weren't able to pay my grandmother and grandfather until they got some money. And so they would come in and get bread and eggs and milk, and they'd get it on credit. But they owed a debt, right? They owed a debt, and they didn't have a cash register. They didn't have an iPad or an iPod with an iPod's music. Tell how technological I am. So what my grandmother had to do, and there's a fly that don't know that I ain't in the mood to be put up with this morning. It's getting ready to die an honorable death. Anyway, because they didn't have that technology, what my grandmother would have to do is she'd have to record what these people owed them so she could keep account of how much they had to pay at the end of the month. And so most people believe, until you get this revelation, that God's up in heaven with a ledger, and He's posting everything you owe Him, and He's going to make you pay the debt for some bad thing you've done in your life. So I'm reading this verse of Scripture, and I'm reading it sincerely, and I'm not joking about this fly. Jordan, I'm going to give you the assignment to come up here and kill that thing. And if I miss the fly, I might hit you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm reading this, and now listen to me now. I'm reading this, and it says he's not counting people's sins against them, but he's canceling them. And I'm spirit filled. I'm not some fringe person that's looking for God. I've found the Lord Jesus Christ. God has baptized me in the Holy Spirit, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. God spoke into my heart, and he said, "Son, I'm not doing bad things to people." Sometime in 1978, the Lord spoke that into my heart. "Son," he said, "I'm not the one doing bad things to people." And I thought, but you know, now that's a slice of pizza that I believe people would be interested in finding out. Because I'm going to tell you something. If y'all been coming to this church any length of time, you know that I've come a long way, and I'm not nearly, the veins on my neck don't nearly get as bad as they used to do, the Jerry, when I talk about certain things. But there's still one thing that absolutely causes me to want to get absolutely, sincerely, serious with somebody is when I hear this phrase. And I hear it all the time. You know, God won't put more on you than you can bear. I'd rather hear a donkey bray at midnight in a tin barn. I'd rather hear two dogs in heat than to hear somebody say that. Are you listening to me? God won't put more on you. And I mean, they'll say it. And they'll say it like it, you know, like they know what they're talking about. God won't put nothing on you, too much on you that you can't bear. In other words, God's the one doing all the stuff. He's putting all the stuff on you. Because he's got a ledger, see, and he knows that you don't deserve anything good. So he's keeping track of it, and he's going to make you pay for the things you've done. And everybody goes, "Oh, I know it. Oh, God, I know it." It's just, you know, God is just so merciful, and yet he won't put more on me than I'm able to bear. God is not putting things on people. Listen very carefully to me. God sent Jesus to take things off people. God sent Jesus so he could put on Jesus all the things he should have put on us. And I believe Franklin Graham even believes that. Now there's some sovereignty in all of his stuff, and I got to just ride the ship with some of these people, or I've got nowhere to sail. Are you listening to me? So I'll let them say a few sovereign things, but I won't let them tell people God's not putting more on you than you can bear. God put everything bad on Jesus so he could put everything good on us. And I swear before the living God, I thought my pizza joint would be packed with people. Wouldn't you want to hear that, Bryant? Bryant Booker wanted to hear it. He wanted to find out there was more than just Georgia. James Taylor wanted to hear it. But a whole lot of people didn't. A whole lot of people didn't. A whole lot of people wanted it to be that way, because if it was that way, then there wasn't anything they had to do different. And I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm simply going to tell you that as long as I'm breathing, and I'm still breathing, as long as I'm breathing, I'm going to tell people that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and he's not holding your sins against you. And I'm also going to tell people that just because God's not holding your sins against you doesn't mean you're not going to get in trouble because of sin. Can I get an amen, Jerry? But it's not God that did it. And if you'll get in that Bible and stick your nose in there and find out that there's two kingdoms, and the kingdom of darkness is the one that steals, the kingdom of darkness is the one that kills, the kingdom of darkness is the one that destroys, and God's kingdom is the one that gives you life and gives it to you abundantly. And that abundant life doesn't mean that circumstances and situations aren't going to arise, that you're not going to have tribulation and trial, because you will. Let me give you one verse, just because I want to read this to you, because we all excited. Go to Romans 8, and then I'm going to give you some of this. But didn't you think? Wouldn't you think more people would want to eat some of this pizza? Wouldn't you think that? And the only way we can get anybody to eat any of the pizza is we have to trick them into thinking that they're going to listen to Waylon Jennings on Sunday morning, and they're listening to some preacher, some Bible teacher that's as flawed as anybody you'll run across. But he's telling you that the Lord is good, that his mercy is everlasting, and that his truth endures to all generations. Let me get over here. Let me show you something. It's remarkable. Romans chapter 8, I didn't have this planned, but I want to read it anyway, because anytime I hear a verse in my heart when I'm preaching, I want to share it with you. Romans 8, listen to this. Romans 8, and let's look at 16 and 17, one at a time. Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. See, that's what God was doing with me through the study of the epistles, through the study of his word. He was bearing with me. He was bearing witness with me. He was communicating with me his revelation, his truth. And he'll do it to anybody. He'll do it for anybody that'll take the time to seek him. But he says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And everybody shouts, hallelujah! God's Spirit bears witness with my spirit. I'm charismatic. I live the abundant life. I used to call myself an abundant lifer. Now I'm about half afraid to say that. Not that it isn't true, but I don't want people to misunderstand the concept that somewhere down the line they may come up with some false pandemic called the COVID-19 thing, and you may have to live in the middle of it. And God didn't do anything, didn't have one thing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Oh, this is, everybody likes this. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Say this with me, everybody. And joint heirs with Christ. Say it with me. Joint heirs with Christ. Everything that God gave Jesus, he gave to us. There's a comma after that. How many of you know you got to read after the comma? How many of you know that one of the flaws, listen to me very carefully, I know Bryant respects me more because I say these things, and I'm not just trying to butter up him, but, you know, it don't hurt. But I know that people have, I hope you have more respect for me, because I will tell you that in the past, I might not have read past the comma because I was an abundant lifer. How many of you know I'm still an abundant lifer? How many of you know I believe in the abundant life? But after the word Christ, there's a comma. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, of course, I'd have to spend an entire seminar explaining to you that that does not mean being sick with sickness and disease and anxiety and all kinds of things that come upon you because of the thief. It means because you're now a joint heir with Jesus, the thief hates your guts. You identify with Jesus. The reason why the world hates you is because Jesus said it hated me first. If it hates me, it'll hate you. And then he also said this, Lord, I don't pray that you take them out of the world. So I don't go to bed at night and say, Lord, take me out of here. But he did say this, I pray that you keep them from the thief. Does that make sense? And that's the part that I teach more, that I bring to light to more people, because I don't want to give you the impression that everything's going to be a bed of roses and, you know, all you're going to do is sit on a bed somewhere and eat grapes. You're going to have to actually fight the good fight of faith and allow the abundant life that's in you to conquer the thief. And somebody said, how often do I have to do that? Oh, about every 6 months. No, every day. Every second of every day. Can I get an amen? So anyway, the Lord spoke that verse to me. Go back to 2 Corinthians 5:19. And so I want to say some things to you. Put that verse back up, Jamin. And so, you know, I don't want to get into the details because we're in the 26-year anniversary of Life in Christ Church, but I did tell Teresa something that I don't think I've ever shared in my testimony, and I've given my entire testimony several times here at church, and I haven't left hardly anything out because I've got some stuff that most people would be a little bit shocked by relative to a Bible teacher. But I think I forgot to tell, I've never really shared something about the way this ministry started. You know the fact that I got in my car one Sunday leaving a church. I was leaving a local church here. I got in my car that Sunday morning, and on my way home, and when I got the car, the Lord spoke to me and said, when you get home, you're going to find an ad in the paper for a church. And he said, I want you to go rent that and go ahead and start the church. Y'all remember that part of it? And you remember that when I got to the house, I was a subscriber to the greatest newspaper in America, the Sierra Vista Herald. If you want to know what's going on here locally, if you'll read that 3 months later, they'll tell you what happened. I mean, you'll find out what happened 6 weeks after it happened if you just stay with that newspaper. Oh, it's quite a deal, that thing is. But anyway, I was a subscriber to the Sunday paper, and I don't know, I don't have it anymore, and the newspaper business has now died because of the internet, but it used to be about that thick, didn't it, the Sunday paper, with all the coupons. And I went home, got home, opened the paper up, and sure enough, here's what the ad said. Former church available for rent. That's what it said. And there's only an ad in there, so I figured, well, you know, the Lord left out former. So I certainly wouldn't have heard anything wrong with it. Anyway, so I called the guy. Long story short, I called the guy. I said, I'm interested in that thing. He said, what do you want it for? I said, I'm going to start a church. He said, nah, I don't want that. They said, they never pay their bills. I said, I'll pay you in advance. Anyway, you know the part I left out? I'm not making this up, am I? You know the part I left out? Because I've often wondered, you know, because some people hear that and they think, man, y'all, you didn't accomplish much or whatever you want to say. But the part I left out is before the Lord spoke to me, I remember what I said when I got in the car. You know what I said, Jerry? Oh, you're going to think less of me. I said, Lord, I could do it better. That's when he said, well, okay, big shot. Okay. I've never told that part of it, and that's the truth. And I'm trying to think, did I say it that Sunday or had I said it before? Because how many of you know God hears everything you say? Ask Sarah, remember when she was laughing in the tent? Remember? I can't remember if I had said it that Sunday, but at some point I got in my car and said, Lord, I could do it better than they're doing it. And you know, he didn't say, I know, or, yeah, they're not. He never brings anybody else down. You're not hearing from God if he's bringing somebody else down to lift you up. The only person God will ever lift up is Jesus. Ever. Ever. So I remember I said, you know, I could do it better. So then it makes perfect sense for him to search the newspaper and find me a place to see if I could do it better. But anyway, listen to me now. That's a true story. I've never told that part of it, which is interesting. I think I wanted to tell the other part because I wanted everybody to know that I was divinely inspired to start this fellowship. Amen? And so I came to church September the 22nd, 1996, at the little house on the prairie over there across from Carmichael Grade School that we'd spent... I spent $3,000 of my own money to get it really, really looking good. It was a spectacular spot, man. Gary, well, you were never in that building, were you? No, you came over to the metal. But anyway, let me show you the verse I put up first. Hebrews 10:22 was the first verse of Scripture that I ever taught. As this fellowship of Life in Christ Ministry. I'm coming back to something. Hebrews 10:22 was the first verse that I ever shared at Life in Christ Church. Now listen, this was my very first text. Now remember what the Lord had spoke to my heart, specifically to me. He had spoken to my heart and said, son, I'm not doing bad things to people. That's what he said to me. I mean, I'm telling you, it's clear as day. And really, that was the revelation that was the revelation I was supposed to be presenting to people in order for them to come to my pizza parlor. That was what I was really supposed to be telling people, because that's what I got specifically from God. See, if all I'm going to give you, you know who I left out in the pizza place? You know who I left out? Little Caesars. Pizza, pizza. I mean, if all you want is cardboard and pepperoni, Little Caesars is your spot. Huh? Pizza, pizza. And God only knows how much money that little place is making. Has anybody ever been in there about 5:30 on a Friday? I was in front of somebody. They said, I want 16 pizzas. And I thought, my Lord, just give me two of them, and I'll give you a couple of them. Pizza, pizza. But if all I'm going to do is offer some cardboard pizza with some pepperoni and cheese on it, I'm wasting my time. I really believed, and I still believe it, by the way, I haven't changed my mind on this, I really believe that what God put in my heart to tell people, and by the way, this is also one of the reasons that I'm so connected to Andrew Womack, because so much of what he believes and so much of what he teaches lines up with me. God woke him up one morning in the middle of the night and said, I raised you up to change for you to change people's opinion about me. That's why I raised you up. That's exactly what he did for me. Same thing, same story. Let me tell you what you'll find out. I can't say it all. What you'll find out is everybody that got in those epistles and lived in those epistles come out with a revelation that'll change people's lives. Because the veil doesn't get lifted. You talked about it in the Bible study. The veil of the Old Testament doesn't get lifted until you find Jesus. And if all you're presenting to people is old covenant stuff, you're not going to have anything but old covenant people. It's the truth that sets you free. Amen. So I'm showing up on September 22nd, 1996 with 40 people in this little house. And I'm telling you, 40 people, we'd give a whole lot to have 40 people regular now, wouldn't we? Keith, don't you laugh. Don't you laugh. It's true. And this was the text that I took. Let us draw near, because this is why I saw where people were missing it. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Listen to this. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I was encouraging people that, in Christians specifically, my ministry is specifically to Christians or people that are interested in Jesus. I was encouraging them, draw near to God with full assurance of faith, with a true heart, because God's not mad at you. God's not holding your sins against you. God put on Jesus everything that he should have put on us, and we've been set free. But guess what I found out? I found out that there wasn't any way on earth that I could get anybody to come to God in true assurance of faith until I changed their opinion about God himself. You know, this will fit. You know, I guarantee you that Jordan Cooper, being 15 minutes late for church, I'll guarantee you that he's not going to lose one moment of sleep thinking that I'm going to beat him for it. No, first of all, his mama wouldn't let me. Oh, you just be sweet to that boy. You be sweet to him. She loves me with all her heart. I really believe that. But there's only two things I can do to get on her bad side, and that's talk bad of Anna and Jordan. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be, though? But every now and then, cut me a little slack. Ground that boy. But you know what? I guarantee you he's not worried at all about any kind of repercussion. You know what I'm talking about in general terms. You know why? Because he knows me. He knows that if I'm mean to him, mom will be mean to me. And a happy wife is a happy life. Can I get an amen, Gary? Come on now. I mean, I'm from Kentucky, but I am not stupid. And I got to this text of scripture, and then I started talking to people. And I found out there's no way on God's green earth they're going to come to God with true assurance of faith, because they think God's the one that gave them cancer. They think God's the one that killed their kid in a car accident, or they think God's the one that's causing them to be anxious and all doped up in medication. No, no. It's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So I've had to spend 26 years just trying to get people to change their opinion about who God is. And I've had to go through two or three oven replacements for my pizza and figure out what was the best way I could get that information to people without, you know, completely running everybody off, because it's fascinating to me that most people really and truly don't want to hear that God is good. But I could stand up here and tell you, I could spend the next couple of weeks just telling you stories of people that come to me. I never will forget, real quick, I never will forget, this man me and him hooked up. I don't know if you remember, but we actually started having little fellowships up in that old building we were in on 90 on Fry Boulevard. We had a Bible study up there, and he started coming. And he got turned on to faith and love and all that. And then he found out about us starting his church. And they showed up at his church here one Sunday. And he had six kids. Him and his wife and six kids. Well, that's almost as, you know, that's a crowd. And, you know, I knew he was on board and everything. And they came for a couple of weeks, and then they never came back. And then I called him up and I said, because we were kind of friends, I called him back. I said, what's up? He said, nah, he said, my wife don't have, she don't want nothing to do with it. She's not interested in it. So I ran into her at the grocery store, where you always run into all your friends, right? Fry's grocery store. My gosh, I wish I owned stock in that place. And she's walking, we run into her, and I said, hey, how are you? I asked about how her husband was and how her kids was. And I said, I'm sorry that we couldn't connect. And I said, what was the big issue? She said, the big issue was God does do bad things to people, and I believe it with all my heart. I said, bye. I'm going to miss you. Can I get an amen? Yeah, she said, God does bad things to people. Don't tell me he don't. I said, well, I'm going to tell you he does not do bad things to people. And I wasn't quite as sanctified as I am now. And so as she left, I kind of give her a little nudge. Now, you see, part of that is, and this is another thing that will help people. Part of that is see, they haven't done a deep dive into the epistles. They haven't got the same. See, I got a direct revelation of 2 Corinthians 5:19. I'm telling you. See, the reason why the Apostle Paul could do what he did and give up what he gave up and go through what he went through is because he got direct revelation. You can't beat it out of me. God told Mark Browning, personally, I'm not doing bad things to people. You can forget it. I'm not going to go along with you. And the problem is they try to merge the Old and the New Testament together, and they try to make God be the same way he was in the Old Covenant. Now, he never really changed. What he had to do in the Old Covenant was protect the Jewish people, and sometimes to protect the Jewish people, he had to kill people. Just like you still have to do today if they decide to nuke us. Oh my God, we got Dr. Strangelove as President of the United States, boys. Get him out and get him out quick. Jackie, where's Jackie? Where's Joe Biden's my question. No, that's what's going on. So that's part of it. And the other part of it is that in order to be able to come and be set free, you may have to self-evaluate and determine what it was that actually brought that stealing, killing, and destroying into your life. And it may have nothing to do with you. We didn't have nothing to do with COVID-19. That wasn't us. That wasn't us that made us stay at home and lock down our businesses and put masks on our school children. That wasn't us. Sometimes it's just the rotten, stinking devil. But sometimes it is us. And God's not mocked. Does that make sense to anybody but me? So I couldn't teach faith. I thought I was going to teach people faith. By the way, I learned faith from somebody else, and I learned grace from somebody else. And I learned faith and grace well, and I believe it with all my heart. But I learned the true character of God from God directly. And that's the pizza I have to serve to people. And that's the pizza I'm going to keep serving to people. So let me give you some more verses and then we'll close right here. James 1, 1:17. Every good gift, everybody say it with me. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. See that? Don't go slow. See that? See, let that word soak into you. And comes down, I'll say the rest of it, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation. In other words, that's just who he is. There's no variation, nor shadow of turning. God is good because God's good. God is love because God's love. And that's also the reason why it appears sometimes that God's not doing anything. The reason why God's not doing anything is because love can't do certain things you're asking him to do. Think about that one for a little while. Oh, there's going to come a time when the wrath of God comes, and that hadn't come yet. We still live under the age of grace and reconciliation. Can I get an amen? And then my famous verse I put up at least once a month verse, 1 John 1:5, and then I'm going to tell a story about that and we're going to quit. This is the message. Listen to this now. Track it. This is the message which we have heard from him. Now, remember that all these verses that I'm reading, all they do is correspond or agree with the revelation that God's already given me that he's not doing bad things to people. You with me? So I'm looking at it from that lens. And that's what you need to do. Everybody needs to get revelation. We need revelation, man. You need revelation. Whatever your problem is, whatever your situation is, you need revelation from God because that will cause you to overcome. But it says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. The message we heard from who? Jesus. The message we heard from Jesus. Remember, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. What is that message, Jesus? What is it? What is that message? God is light, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Say that with me. And in him is no darkness at all. Now I'm going to tell one story and I'm going to quit. Then we're going to stand up. There was a couple that came for several years here, I think. He was actually a golf pro at PDS. And his wife had a high-powered job, I think, at one time. I think it was California. Anyway, she'd come from some place where she'd had a high-powered job. They'd had a couple of kids, and she was going to be a housewife. And he was over at PDS being a pro. And they came for a couple of years. And I guess that, you know, in the process of being here at Life in Christ Church, how many of you... Is this not the first time that you've ever seen this verse put up here at this ministry? Keith, it may be yours because you're probably the newest one here, but everybody else, Pete, y'all might not have seen this yet, but how many of you understand this is a regular verse I share? Right, Brian? Probably right in line with we are of God and the whole world's under the sway of the devil. Right up there with those. But anyway, so in the process of coming for 2 years, you got to know that she'd heard this verse before. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And how I emphasize the fact that if it's darkness, it's not God. If it's light, it is. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. Right? Real simple stuff. So she calls me on the phone one day. And again, she'd been coming for, I think they came for a couple of years. They were here in town for a couple of years. And she called me on the phone one day and she said, I want you to know something. And I thought she was going to say, we're going to be leaving the church, because that was usually the calls I'd get, you know. It's amazing how women always seem to get mad at me. You know, Francis, why is that? Jerry, why would that be? I mean, I love women. I'm women's best friend. But it seemed like women would always be the ones that would talk their husbands out of coming. Don't be going to that church. Anyway, so she said, I want you to know something. So I'm bracing myself like, okay, all right, what's coming? She said, I finally got it. And I said, what do you mean? She said, I finally got what you're talking about. She said, the Lord has finally shown me that he is light and in him is no darkness at all. 2 years. Took her 2 years. That's why I'm going to keep putting the verses up. You don't know when it's going to hit somebody. You don't know when you're driving down the road. You don't know when 2 Corinthians 5:19, God's going to speak in your heart and say, I'm not doing bad things to people. I'm not holding things against people. I'm not the one doing it. I came to set people free. I said, well, that's just absolutely wonderful. And she said, I want to thank you for continuing to say that on a regular basis, because she said, it took me 2 years to get it. And I said, don't feel bad. I know people that's been in there for 10 and they still don't have it. No. But you know, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Let's stand up on our feet and we'll close with one of my favorite verses and also one of my favorite psalms. Psalm 100 verse 5. And I want everybody over at the police station to hear us quote this verse. I want them to hear it over at the police station. I want them to hear it over to do they play soccer over there anymore? Here it is. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Can we stay connected and committed to that truth? Will y'all still support me as I tell people that God's good, that he loves people, that he's not out to get you, that he wants to set you free? It's the rotten, stinking, murdering, lying devil that's causing all this trouble. Will you still come and eat my pizza? Amen. I'll try my best to make it better for you. Some of you like deep dish. Some of you like hand tossed, and some of you like thin. And I'll try my best to make it palatable. How do you say that word? Palatable. 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 But I'm not going to get off of it. I'm not going to start changing my tune and telling people, God must have some mysterious reason for something bad. No. Let's say it out loud, everybody. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generation. See, that's why the our young people, there's going to be somebody raised up that's going to keep the truth going. There's going to be another Franklin Graham. There's going to be another one. There's going to be somebody keeping the truth going. Hallelujah. Father, we just give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. If you're listening by radio or internet and you haven't received Jesus Christ, then I'm just asking you so humbly to do it, because Jesus paid all the debt that you could never pay. He paid everything for you so that God could put on you everything that Jesus is. And that's grace and love and truth and righteousness. And the Bible says in order for that to happen, you have to acknowledge him and receive him. So say this with me. Say, Dear God, I've heard about Jesus, and I want to receive him. I want him to pay the debt for my sins. I can't pay him, but he paid them for me. So I receive that grace and that mercy into my life. And I boldly proclaim, Jesus is Lord. Amen. I'm going to just sit there for just a minute, because I know that people genuinely and sincerely prayed that. And there's something that happened on the very core of your being. You passed from death to life, and you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, I pray that you get your hands on a Bible. You start listening to these Bible lessons from a New Testament minister and begin the process of living the abundant life. It's in the holy and glorious name of Jesus we pray, and everybody said, Amen. Amen.